All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Psalms devotional. We're on a Tuesday morning this morning because of the computer difficulties I was having, still am having, but I've kind of figured out how to navigate around the need for my keyboard. The child says good morning. So happy Tuesday morning. I woke up this morning and part of my alarm gives me the weather and told me there were snow showers in Bel Air. And I thought, snow showers? I'd heard rumors of perhaps a little bit of snow on Tuesday morning, but there's no snow outside my window anyway. I saw a flake or two, but I think we're done with snow for the year, and I'm okay with that. We got plenty this year. I love snow as much as the next guy, but it's March 16th, tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day, and we're ready to move on with spring, right? All right, and we're moving on in the Psalms, Psalm 145 this morning. So we are coming down the home stretch of the Psalms here this week and next week. We should wrap them up. And this last, the last group really is a very strong, worshipful, joyful, wonderful, uplifting group of Psalms. The Psalms really end on this crescendo. And so Psalm 145 today is a psalm of praise written by David. That is an acrostic psalm. And then 146 to 150 are all hallelujah psalms because they all both open and close with the word hallelujah, translated as praise the Lord. So let's pray and then we'll dig into Psalm 145 this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for giving us another day of life. Thank you for the opportunity we have to gather around your word and to hear it and to sit under your teaching of us by your Holy Spirit. Would you lead us into all truth by your Spirit through your word today? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Psalm 145. It is a song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So Beth tells me we're having issues with the stream. That we are not. Oh, I see. The Facebook feed is not working right.
Neither is YouTube.
Oh, neither is YouTube.
Both things, the audio seems to be okay, but the video is like
Well, boy, technology. It's a wonderful blessing, but what do we do with it when it's not working right? Okay. Let me...
Works. I will edit. They shall speak. You satisfy the desire of every living thing.
Let me... Okay, so I don't know if that fixed things for everybody or not. That's always why it takes me a few minutes to get started in the morning, is, you know, there's always those few minutes of just the music with the logo, because I'm making sure all the streams are working. But then sometimes I can make sure all the streams are working and I can jump on here and then it freezes up. So anyway, where were we? Psalm 145. All right, so it's a song of praise of David. Like I said, it's an acrostic. This is several 111, 112, 119. That, you know, the successive lines begin with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There's just no practical way to reflect that in an English translation. In Psalm 119, each stanza begins, every line in it begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So in your English translation, it'll have Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet above each section. But, you know, so you get a little bit of a visual clue of what's going on. But these other psalms, there's no way you'd know that as an English Bible reader unless you have footnotes or study Bible or something. But it's an acrostic. And that does somewhat shape the way the psalm is written, because obviously when you get to the next line, it's moving to the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet to begin. So it's usually thematic. Acrostic psalms are usually meditating on or pondering on a theme, okay? And usually the theme is given at the front. So rather than developing with a beginning, a middle, and an end, and sort of telling a story of looking for deliverance and longing for deliverance and then thanking God for deliverance like a lot of the psalms do, they're sort of meditating upon a theme. And the theme here is God, my God and King, and His name. Bless your name forever. So the name of the Lord really is praise to the name of the Lord, my God and King. Well, what does that mean? Well, the name of the Lord is all the ways in which He has revealed Himself. It's God's own revelation of His character, of His heart, of who He is. And specifically, in the Bible, in Exodus 34, God reveals His name to Moses. When He hides Moses in the cleft of the rock, Moses had made a request and said, Lord, show me your glory. He had this heart to want to know the Lord more. He said, Lord, show me your glory. And God said, no one can see my glory and live, but I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. I'll cause all my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, the name of the Lord, there before you. And He says, the Lord, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And so He proclaims the name of the Lord by a revelation of the character of God. And so Psalm 145 actually references that very particular self-revelation of God. We'll see it later, which several of the psalms do. That self-revelation of God from Exodus 34 becomes incredibly important to the history of God's people in understanding who God is. But here David is meditating upon the name of the Lord and praising, wanting to praise the name of the Lord, wanting to show forth how great the Lord is. Great is the Lord, Yahweh, and greatly to be praised. We have here the three major concepts of God, names, titles, attributes, concepts of God that are present, and that is the Lord, Yahweh, I am who I am, eternal, self-sufficient, from everlasting to everlasting, the great I am. He needs nothing from anyone because he is who he is. He never changes because he is who he is. He is faithful. God, Elohim, which is the power of God, Almighty, God the strong, God the mighty one, okay, and King, which we often see that as Lord, Adonai, but King reflects the same idea. It's a little different word, but it is the idea of God's rule or God's reign. So the Lord, Yahweh, refers to God's character as the unchanging, self-sufficient, ever-faithful one. And then God refers to his strength, and Lord or King refers to his rule, to his sovereignty. And all of those elements are going to be meditated on here in Psalm 145. And he says, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I mean, here we are. This is where you need to stop. Whenever you read about one generation to another in the Psalms, it shows up several places. You need to stop and do a reality check. We're here in the year 2021 A.D., okay? David wrote Psalm 145 in around the year 1000 B.C. So here we are more than 3,000 years after the life of David, and we are still commending the great works of God generation to generation. So we are called to pass on to the next generation what we ourselves have received about the works of God, his mighty acts, his glorious splendor, his majesty, right? And David says, one generation is doing this to another, and I'm going to join right in. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to declare, right? I will meditate, which means I'm going to think deeply about these things myself. I'm going to think about and dwell upon and really ponder the goodness and greatness of God, and I will declare, I will speak aloud, I will proclaim God's greatness. So he's kind of going back and forth between one generation to another and he himself, and then back to one generation to another. So we're part of something bigger than us. One of the problems with American evangelicalism is that it's a little bit too American and not quite biblical enough. And that is, we tend to see ourselves as having this personal relationship with Jesus, who is my Lord and Savior, right? And that's great, right? But Christianity is always personal, but never private. Our faith is always personal, but never private. In other words, it affects who we are in every aspect of our lives, public and private, but it's also just not mine, right? My private property. Jesus is not my private property. He is commended and loved and worshipped by all of God's people. So I'm part of something much bigger than myself, the kingdom of God. And here in verses 8 and 9, we get to, particularly in verse 8, the echo, the reference back to Exodus 34. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. That is the essence of how the Lord, Yahweh, the great I Am, the covenant God of his people, has revealed himself. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, which literally in the Hebrew means long of nose or long of nostril. And the idea is that if you get really angry, your nose turns red. But if you have a long nostril, you can breathe lots of air in, and you can take a long time before your nose turns red. It's a very colorful image in the Hebrew. And abounding in steadfast love, abounding in chesed. We've talked about chesed so many times in these Psalms devotionals. It is God's committed, loyal, covenant love to his own, and he's abounding in it. He's not stingy in it, right? This is how God wants to reveal himself to us. This is how God himself has declared, this is my name. I am gracious. I treat you with kindness and generosity so much better than your sins deserve. I am merciful. I withhold the judgment and the consequences that you deserve for your sin. I am slow to anger. I am not easily provoked. God doesn't have a short fuse. And instead, I am abounding in steadfast love. It's just a wonderful self-disclosure that God has given us of who he is for us. This is our relationship with God. gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. And I believe this is a reference to God's common grace. So there's God's covenantal love that is reflected in the word chesed, that is His loyal covenantal love for His own people, right? And verses 4 through 6 are talking about God's, or 4 through 7 are talking about God's own people, one generation to another, who commend the works of God, who declare His mighty acts. And chesed refers to God's relationship with His own people. But God is not just good to His own people, He's good to all. And His mercy is over all that He has made. Jesus said, you know, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and do good to them, and so you shall be sons of your Father in heaven. For He causes His sun to rise on the righteous and the unrighteous, and He sends the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So God is good to all. And the Apostle Paul reflects this when he says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. So we are to reflect the character of God by doing good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. So it's not just the saints, but it's all the works of God, even the trees and the birds and the grass and the seas and the animals and the, they all receive from God, right? They all receive from God goodness, and in their life and in their beauty, they are reflecting back praise to God. Spring is coming. And one thing that I would encourage you to do differently this spring is to notice the breaking forth of green and life and color and vibrancy and beauty and think, this is God's doing, His goodness reflected in His creation. This is glorifying Him, and I should glorify Him too. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints, that's the people of God, His holy ones, shall bless you. We speak in audible words. Creation speaks without a voice, without words, but we speak in audible words. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. I see that our technical difficulties have put us behind schedule this morning, so I'm going to try to be faithful, but proceed to the end here. The first part, this is actually the second part of verse 13, the Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. You see that in brackets, and that's because it's found in a couple of manuscripts, but really just one or two manuscripts, but it's not found in the vast majority of them. So Bible scholars who do research into manuscripts don't believe that this is actually in the original Psalm 145, but that it was kind of added later. It's obviously true. Very much the same language is repeated there in verse 17 at the bottom of your screen. So there's never any question about whether or not these words are true of God. They certainly are. He is faithful in all His words, and He is kind in all His works. But there's some dispute over whether or not David actually wrote these words in the Psalm 145 originally, or whether a Hebrew scribe maybe added them later in a copying error. Those things, thankfully, are very, very rare in the Bible. Very much less than 1% of the text of the Bible has these sort of serious disputes over does this belong or does this not belong. It's well under 1% of the text of the Bible that's seriously in doubt or dispute. And none of it affects any doctrine of what we believe at all. Like I said, this part of verse 13, it's absolutely true, right? It's whether it was there or not, it's true. And you could find the very same thing said in other parts of Scripture. So, but that's why that's in brackets. If you're reading that, you're wondering, why is that in brackets? That's why. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. So this is, again, God's common grace over all creation. God provides. God is good and gracious. Every once in a while, we'll see a disruption of the evident regularity of the patterns through a storm or through, you know, destructive earthquake or fire. And we see that sort of exception that proves the rule. And we forget how regularly faithful and gracious God is. Of course, God is faithful and gracious even in storms and fires. He's sovereign over all things. But I'm just saying, it's so interesting to me how people will take note of like a tornado that comes or a lightning strike or a hurricane and say, where is God? But they won't acknowledge when every spring comes and the animals give birth and everything has its food in its season. They won't say, here is God graciously providing for his creation. They'll just say, oh, that's the cycles of Mother Nature. And they only use God as a sort of accusation when they think something has gone wrong. God is gracious and he's faithful. And he's faithful in all his ways and all his works. But covenantally, now, so we move again from sort of general revelation, common grace, to covenantally his goodness. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. So he's good to everyone. He's good to his whole creation, but he's near. His presence is near with and for those who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him. But all the wicked he will destroy. So creation itself, the natural world, as we say, the creation, will be renewed and restored when Jesus comes again. But the wicked people, who also benefit from God's goodness every day the wicked live in God's creation, breathing God's air, being sustained by God's food, but that will come to an end, and God will destroy the wicked. And so the final response is, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord God, you are worthy of all praise. You are worthy to be blessed forever and ever. For you are faithful, and you are kind, you are good, you are unfailing and unwavering in your kindness and your goodness. So, Father, be with us today. Help us to meditate on your character and on your works, and help us to declare your character and works to the world around us, to the next generation. Help us to teach our children faithfully and well. Help us to declare to the world who you are. Help us to see your hand at work in the beauty of creation. Help us to see your character revealed in your word, and let us not be shy or slow about speaking forth the goodness of who you are. We thank you, Father. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. So tomorrow morning we'll be back. We normally do one Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but tomorrow morning we'll be back, Lord willing, with Psalm 146. Have a blessed day in the Lord.